if I don't know something, if I'm trying to learn something, I go to YouTube. I don't know why, because I basically spend all my days trying to rank content in Google, right? Yeah. But for some reason, written content just doesn't do it for me. I learn a lot faster.
You're listening to the Merged Marketing Podcast with David Lauch and Jason Hunt. Our mission with this show is to discuss all things business, digital marketing, sales, and mindset. It's our hope to empower entrepreneurs to get the most from their efforts so that they can focus on what they do best.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Merged Marketing Podcast. Today's episode features another incredible entrepreneur. We have Benjamin of Golden Web on the show today. Benjamin started his digital marketing journey at the age of 12. He later turned specifically towards technical SEO, specializing in finding advanced website issues that hold webmasters back from ranking at the top of page one. Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. Super excited to do this.
Yeah, we are super excited to have you today. So why don't you, before we dive into today's topic, maybe share a little bit with the Merge Nation, who you are, maybe what you were like as a kid, how you grew up, and ultimately how you got into to marketing and SEO today.
Sure. Let me just start rambling about the story. My name is Benjamin. I come from Slovenia, a very tiny country right next to Italy. I started out with just YouTube videos. I was super passionate about tech, about smartphones, everything like that. And I was watching all these reviewers. They were like reviewing phones, cases. And someone mentioned that they got a phone case or a product for free, and they just made a video for it. And that to me was crazy at the age of 12. So I had my iPod Touch at that time, and I just said, I was in my bedroom just on the computer, well, why don't I try to make a video? So I took my webcam, started an introduction video, and just everything went from there. Grew the channel to over 10 million views now, almost 25,000 subscribers, and that just started the journey. From there, well, I kind of wanted to have a website, right? I had no clue how to make one. So I just went on YouTube once again, started browsing and looking into everything, how to actually make a website. And then when you have your own website, people just start approaching you. You have an amazing website, right? Can you make one for me? That's kind of then led to my web design company, which we scaled to up to 23 employees at one point. But you know what happens when you like really jump into a web design business, especially if you're dealing with local clients? It's people buy a website to get traffic, to get leads. And we delivered amazing websites. They looked pretty good, but they did not get a ton of traffic. Either I had to either jump into the route of PPC, paid traffic, or organic. Surely paid traffic is a lot easier. That's what I started with. But then this whole SEO idea just presented like a challenge to me. It was super interesting. So just started looking around, met some very good people, and combining SEO with my development background and my team, we were just able to really get going with the technical SEO. And it's what we're doing today.
Awesome.
How do you keep up with the ever-changing algorithm, you know, the Google updates, and what helps you keep on track with that? Is it frustrating for you? Is it kind of exciting because you can be the first one ahead of the curve when those changes happen?
To be honest, it's super exciting because as a technical SEO, well, you have kind of two types of SEOs. You have actually three. You have content guys, you have link guys, and then you have technical guys. Like, my opinion is that with every single Google update that they push out, they're moving more and more into the direction of just appreciating well-built sites. If you're familiar with Google Search Console, you can also notice that with every update and as time goes on, they keep on adding more features in there and presenting you with more errors that you have on your site. And for us, the vast majority of the updates, as long as the links are clean and the content is good, of course, we just keep on trending upwards, which is kind of the reason why I'm so in love with the technical side of SEO.
Yeah. And so for our audience, it's kind of funny because, and Benjamin, you and I kind of joked about this when we had caught up before today. And that was, we've had now, I think, three or four people on our show to talk about different aspects of SEO. And I was joking with you about how maybe we should have started an SEO show because we're really, like, there's that much to dive in on. And, you know, we've had someone on to talk about on page, and then content, and then just a general overview of SEO. And now we have you on to talk about technical SEO. So so that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Today, we're really going to be diving deep into five specific best practices to ensure that your website's technical SEO is on point. So Benjamin, before we get into those five best practices of technical SEO, is there some sort of definition that you can give to people so that they can distinguish the difference between what technical SEO is versus on-page SEO, off-page SEO? Like, what is the difference and what exactly is technical SEO?
Right, right. So off-page SEO, probably the most common SEO, is just building links to your site. Works, links are still the number one ranking factor, super important. On-page, in my opinion, is just about optimizing the content, kind of placing keywords in proper areas, optimizing the headings, everything like that, so that you can kind of benefit in terms of just your positions in Google with tools like Page Optimizer Pro, Surfer SEO. That's incredibly easy because they allow you to analyze Google search results, and they kind of allow you to reverse engineer the strategy of your competitors and just apply it to your own site, right? But then you have technical, and with technical SEO, it's more about the health of your website. So in terms of how everything is set up, how everything is connected, and, well, you just want to have a clean site, right? Without errors, without problems. The cleaner it is, the easier it will be for Google to understand it, and the less red flags you'll have in their eyes, which is the most important in the end of the day.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the distinction there and the definition. And so we'll dive into those five specific best practices. And I don't want people to be scared by the word technical. We're going to try our best to keep these things simple. At the end of the day, these five best practices, we want you to be able to be able to take away and potentially do yourself to improve your overall website. Obviously, we're here. Benjamin's here to help you out along the way. But let's get into that now. So Benjamin, what's number one?
The number one thing is just click-through rate optimization. This is, so I kind of just outlined the 5 points, starting with the most simple one, and then just getting progressively more advanced, so that everyone can essentially apply something from this episode. First of all, a click-through rate optimization. If you just try to imagine how it looks like when you search for something, you just type in the keyword and the results show up in the search, right? With click-through rate optimization, there's a very, very good trick that you can do. And if you're only trying to rank for a very specific keyword, what you can do, let's say that we're trying to rank for boiler repair. If we're trying to rank for boiler repair, what we can do is take the keyword boiler repair, edit the meta title, which is just the title of our page that we're trying to rank in Google, and put that keyword all the way to the beginning, so all the way to the left. Just by doing that and then going into the Search Console, submitting your URL, your page, to get reindexed, which means for Google to recheck the page once again, you'll notice that most of the time, within 10 to 15 minutes, you'll jump a few positions. And it's wow. One of the top tips and one of the first things that we do if we get in a site that's not yet implemented this trick. Then you also have a few other things. So you have FAQ schema, you have review snippets, and this is just a tiny piece of code, which is not very scary. You have these generators online, so you can just Google for FAQ schema or product schema, and you can essentially copy and paste. The code is auto-generated for you. You can copy and paste it onto your page, and you will be able to get either the questions under your search result or stars. And both, once again, lead to more people clicking on your page, basically. And the more clicks you get, the higher you'll naturally move up in the rankings.
So just to go back for a second, Benjamin, so let's just say, you know, let's just say Merge Media, and we want to rank for social media marketing companies. You're saying the very first thing we need to do in that header is put social media before anything else, before the company.
Right. So the first thing that I would do personally is just take the URL and also a few competitors and just really make sure that the keyword you're going for is super specific, but also has the most clicks and search volume, because there might be a variation in a letter or two. And just by really focusing on the exact variation and implementing that, it will be of great help.
Awesome. Okay. So have we just gone through click-through rate optimization so far, or was FAQ schemas the second one?
No, so that's all kind of part of one, because they all tie together, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that I just want to add, Brian Dean, who in my opinion is one of the best for case studies, for research, and I highly recommend his resources just to any beginners or even more advanced SEOs. They did a case study which analyzed thousands of search results, and they came to a conclusion that if you include brackets, years, so just numbers, and emojis in your search results, you will get a higher click-through rate. And that,
really?
once again ties into the principle. So the more people that you can get to click on your search result, just the higher up you'll naturally move, because Google will prioritize them.
We've actually done that ourselves, where you put award-winning digital marketing agency with a little emoji of the trophy, and it actually works pretty well.
It's super good. It's super good. Doesn't display all the time, but when it does, you can really expect a click through.
I didn't know about the brackets and numbers as well. That helps increase the click through rate. I guess the psychology behind it is just because it stands out, because it doesn't look normal, right?
Yeah. Let me give you an example. So let's say that you're working with an affiliate site or a product review or something like that, and you have two examples. Let's say that you're doing to stay on the boilers, a boiler review or something like that, and you have two product names. The first one is just a product name and review, but the second one is product name, review, brackets, updated 2020.
Right.
Which one are you going to click on?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's awesome. I mean, that's typically what I do when I'm searching for anything, though, is I just go to that news tab, because you know you're going to get the most recent stuff there. But if you found that updated 2020 within the actual search, the click-through rate would be huge. Right? That's awesome.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Let's move on to number two then.
Number two, a bit more advanced, is scroll budget optimization. It's a scary word, but it's super simple. So with crawl budget optimization, what we're essentially doing is we're taking a look at Google's index. And to simplify that scary word, Google index basically just means an overview of every single page that you have on your domain that is currently listed in Google. And how you can do that? Well, you can just search with a site parameter. So site, I think it's column, and your domain name, enter, and it will display all your pages on your domain and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And what you can then do is just go through them one by one and take a look at pages that don't have unique content on them, or that have like under 300 words of unique content on them. So to kind of explain why you would want to just take a look at them and why do you would want to write them out, well, essentially, Google crawl budget is a resource that is limited. You can think of the crawl budget as like an amount that Google dedicates to each site. And the more pages that a domain has, well, the less time is Google going to spend on them, going through them. And if you have a lot of pages that are just empty tags, empty categories, outer profiles, or just empty pages that don't have any unique content on them, well, essentially, you're just wasting your ranking potential. So what I personally recommend doing is taking a look at tags, authors, categories, if you're not implementing them, and just setting them to no index. By setting them to no index, you'll essentially be telling Google, okay, this page does not bring value to the user, please remove it from the index. And by doing that, other pages which have the content on them, which are valuable, which have the conversion potential and everything like that, will naturally get a boost.
Mm. Interesting. So, you know, you just said that websites with a lot of pages, for the most part, Google doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to, probably because they have to do more work to sift through each of the pages, right?
Right. Correct.
What if they what if the website has a lot of pages, but they're all unique and legit pages? They're not duplicate content. You know, what then? Is Google still going to spend less time on that website?
No. That's perfect. That's what exactly what you want. Yeah. If every page brings value to someone, if they can buy a product which will then fulfill their needs, or whatever it might be, as long as it brings value to them, then absolutely, it should stay indexed, of course.
It's funny because, you know, the less is more, and it applies not just to SEO, but, you know, to go on the social side, the paid Facebook side, you know, with audiences, a lot of people like to put a lot of interest-based audiences within Facebook when they go to create that campaign. But what Facebook doesn't want to go through all these audiences to try to find that perfect person to get in front of. So ideally, what you want to be doing is just having a very open cast or open pool of people to target. So less targeting, less work Facebook has to do. The same thing what you're saying, Benjamin, with Google. Exactly. Less work Google has to do, the better. Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so funny when we have these SEO conversations with our guests or in-house. It's funny how the focus is always on Google as a search engine. Nothing else really gets brought up. And you know, it makes sense. Most people are not using any other search engine other than Google. But, you know, in your opinion, do those other ones matter? Do you spend time
YouTube,
working
YouTube? The underdog.
Yeah.
Personally, if I don't know something, if I'm trying to learn something, I go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because I basically spend all my days trying to rank content in Google, right? Yeah. But for some reason, written content just doesn't do it for me. I learn a lot faster by listening, by watching two videos, listening to podcasts, everything like that. So in my opinion, and in fact, my YouTube channel still makes me a very good, decent chunk of money today from all those videos and tutorials that I did back then. Mm-hmm. Just how-to videos, tutorials that rank at the top of YouTube, just because of this principle, because of how many people go into YouTube and type their search query.
Yeah. You know, I recently read some article that a high-level executive of Google recently left within the last year and is planning to start his own search engine. I forget the name of it, but when you read things like this, or maybe you don't at all, but if you do, is it at all alarming? Do you look into it? Is it something to consider, or are they just, there's just no way anything like that would ever be relevant?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember the exact number, but do you know how many social networks come up every single day and how many die every single day? Yeah. Like, when you're so big, when you have such a huge market share, good luck.
It does happen, though. I mean, TikTok is a good example, right? Like that. It's certainly not as big as Facebook, and you know, It's definitely not as big as Facebook, but the traction that it's getting is pretty impressive. And it's you never know.
How could somebody even disrupt, you know, Google the same way like TikTok would disrupt Facebook, right? Like, it's just I just think it's in the Webster dictionary now, Google. You know, you're Googling something. It's a term, it's a verb, and nobody says I'm gonna go Bing this. It's going to be tough.
I guess it's all about just finding a problem and then solving it for people. Like, I don't know exact problem that TikTok solves, but I guess it's just appealing to a younger audience. And they found their product market fit, and it's the hardest thing to do. But once you have it, it's an open road.
It caters to a very, very short attention span. You know,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
It. And who is that? It's the younger demographic, like you guys.
And Jay. Jay spends more time on TikTok than
I
me.
Do.
I actually do.
If you're not into TikTok, I'm going to suggest don't get into it, because it consumes too much of my time. It's addictive. I spend hours on it because it's just little tidbits of content, and you're doing this all day long looking for that next piece of content, and it's
you don't even have an account, so can't really contribute.
Yeah, well, there you go. If you like having time, don't go on TikTok.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so far we've gone through click-through rate optimization, crawl budget optimization. What is number three?
Before we jump into number three, I would add something to crawl budget optimization. Earlier, I was talking about tags and outers and how you need to find pages that don't bring value or pages that you don't necessarily want to index inside of Google. There's a very good trick that you can implement. If you go into your Search Console, which is the first step if you really want to be successful with SEO, is that you have set up a Search Console. There's a little tab called Coverage. And in Coverage, you have two different tabs. One tab is called Submitted in Sitemap, and the other tab is called Indexed but not Submitted in Sitemap. You want to click on the Indexed but not Submitted in Sitemap, because all the content that you post and that you actually want to have indexed will be submitted in Sitemap. But all the different files, maybe something from your hosting or whatever it might be, that you really don't want to have in the index will appear in that tab. And I can't even count all the things that we found just by opening that tab. We've had clients from that had all their private clients scans indexed inside of Google, their entire database index of all their clients, essentially their CRM indexed. So it's very interesting what you can find there, and I would highly recommend just taking a look.
And now a word from our sponsors.
This week's episode is brought to you by FreshCrowd. FreshCrowd is a full-service social media agency in Canada that specializes in everything social, from management to community building and advertising. FreshCrowd can help your business attract a fresh crowd of people. Visit FreshCrowd.com to find out more.
What do we got next?
Continuing to number three, as we already mentioned, duplicate content. And this, it's not really that apparent, but it sneaks up on you. And when it does, your site will definitely suffer because of it. There are two very good tools that I recommend. The first one is Siteliner. I believe it's siteliner.com. You can just take a look, just Google it. You can probably Bing it too, or whatever you call that, and you'll find it. But essentially, what that tool allows you to do, it's completely free, and it allows you to enter your domain into the tool, and the tool will go ahead and scan your entire domain for pages and posts that have over 50% of content duplicated from one of your other pages. And as you know, it's a common principle that you don't want to have a page that has over 50% of duplicate content. So just by finding that, adding more unique content or taking away the duplicated content, and then of course submitting the URL for re-index, you'll be doing yourself a big favor. And then the second part is making sure, so now we took a look and made sure that you don't have duplicate content on your domain, but there's a chance that you may have duplicate content somewhere else. There's a very good tool called Copyscape, and it will allow to take a portion of or a whole bit of your article, paste it into the tool, and it will scan the entire web for copies. And what you want to do then is just take a look if your article was published before the other article, and if yes, you can feel free to leave it. But if you happen to be copying someone else without really realizing, maybe you had a content writer or something like that, you just really want to make sure that at least 50% of your content is unique, and I highly recommend doing that.
So if you get a piece of blog content from, let's say, an external copywriter, you would just put it into Copyscape, and Copyscape will tell you what percentage of duplicate content is out there for that piece of content.
Exactly.
Is that the most popular form of the duplicate content, is through a blog, or would it find certain paragraphs within a website as well and scan that content? Would that be considered duplicate content as well?
It will be, but it will give you a percentage. So if you have a 2,000 word article and the paragraph is like 50 words, that will be nothing, you know? So it's not really, you don't bother with that. If it's like 30% or more duplicate, that's when I start paying attention to it.
What if you have a piece of content that that you wrote, let's say on LinkedIn articles, and that same content is on your website? Would that be considered duplicate content?
Depends where it was published first. That's why I always suggest that you first publish on your own site before distributing it anywhere else. For example, that happens a lot with Medium. People will write a blog post on their site and then also share it on Medium. That's why Medium specifically implemented their function where you can just post your website URL and it will take the blog post but give you a source link back to your page. So that's indicating that to Google, okay, look at that page instead of the Medium article.
Gotcha. Cool. Interesting. That's a good question. Yeah, I was actually going to ask the same thing. So perfect. Okay. Well, moving on to number four.
Number four is just taking a look at the backlink profile and changing external links to nofollow. So let me just start off with the first one. Then maybe if you guys have any questions so that I don't just take too much time rambling on. First off, restoring broken backlinks. Personally, I'm a big fan of Ahrefs. It's one of the best tool for SEO out there. And what it allows you to do is essentially plug in your domain name. You can go to backlinks and you can go to broken backlinks. And what the tool will do is it will give you a list of all the different websites linking back to your website, but your website then returns a 404. This often happens when you're doing a website migration, a website redesign, something like that. And you'll have basically old content where you had a bunch of links going to, but you just renamed it or replaced it with something. Basically, you'll have a bunch of links pointing to that, but your domain won't be picking them up because it's going to a 404. So what you want to do is create either a redirect from the old URL to the new one and make sure that it's a 301 redirect. And just by doing that, you'll essentially be able to recapture all those backlinks and all that link juice and thus get a bit of a link boost. So we've just done this for actually a couple of months ago for a client. What they did, they had a couple of domains they bought and they did 301 redirects, but they only did them from the homepage, right? But a page is not only a homepage, it has all different pages, right? Mm-hmm. So what we did, took a look at the domain and found, I believe it was over 350 backlinks that we recaptured for them. Wow. And just created the redirects, funneled them over. And I don't know if it's just because of that, but they are now up over 70% in 45 days with no new links other than just fixing those. So big opportunity for some quick wins.
Wow. And is it fair to say that this would be a super important tactic to keep in mind for a business that's been around for a long time and has had a website for a while, but has recently decided to develop a new website? So now all of those old pages from the old website, some of them might have error pages, but they need to be redirected, right? Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. Like if your site's been around for, I would say, just like 5 years, you probably have a bunch of citations, awards. If you're present in your local communities, you'll have awards, some different just entities linking back to you. Mm-hmm. And when doing a redesign, it very often happens that if you're working with an agency that's not also an SEO agency, that unfortunately they won't be paying attention to this. And I highly recommend just taking a look at it yourself or potentially hiring someone that has a bit of SEO expertise, especially if one of your main ways of driving traffic is through organic, because I've seen some very bad horror stories of just doing redesigns, redevelopments. So it's quite unfortunate, but if you're careful, it can be done properly. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Was that all that was for number four, or there was a second part?
Yeah, then comes the second part. And let me just kind of explain. So we just mentioned backlinks, right? Mm-hmm. Backlinks, there are two types of backlinks. The first type of backlinks, do follow. Do follow backlinks mean that, okay, let's say that a backlink is like a vote. And when you have a do follow backlink, it's essentially saying to Google, okay, yeah, take a look at this vote. Take it into account. Yeah, it counts. But when you have a nofollow backlink, that is essentially giving Google a signal, okay, yeah, it's a link, but don't count it. Don't count this vote. So, and when you have your website and when you're linking out to a bunch of other websites on the internet, especially if you have an affiliate site linking out to a bunch of Amazon product pages, if you're linking out with dofollow links, you're essentially taking your backlink power, your domain power from your website here and sending it over to the other website. This is why a lot of affiliates who miss this point, they're trying to outrank Amazon in the search results. Well, they can't outrank them because they're sending them dofollow links through the entire site, right? Mm-hmm. And if one site is linking to another, but that one is not linking back to them, well, which one's going to be on top, right? Mm-hmm. So this can be done very, very simply if you want to change your external links to nofollow. Yoast is super popular, but unfortunately does not have this feature. I would highly, highly encourage you to take a look at RankMath. It's a free SEO plugin. It's incredible. I absolutely love it.
So you want the nofollow links to get that link juice, essentially, right? And I guess using a platform like RankMath can help you do that. Can you dive into that a little bit, Benjamin, on sure. How that works?
Sure. So let's say that, first of all, not all links that you're sending to, because we're talking not about people linking to your site, but your site linking to other places, right? So you want to have dofollow links going out from your website to relevant authority sites. So if you're a local boiler repair company or something like that, you would naturally want to link out to I think it's BBB or like a Chamber of Commerce or just local authorities, local companies that make sense to be connected with your site. But if you have if you're just linking out to places like Facebook, YouTube, all these huge sites that are not really exactly relevant and don't need a boost, well, essentially you just take those links and turn them into nofollow. And as you know, when you work on WordPress and you add a link, RankMath will essentially ask you, do you want this link to be a dofollow or nofollow? And you just check nofollow.
Got it. So like those icons, those social media icons on a site would be nofollows.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Good to know. That's good. Awesome.
Interesting. Okay. What was that second part of this number four? Or was that it?
That was it.
That was it. Perfect. Okay. Moving into the final and fifth tip. What do you got for us?
The fifth tip, I think I already mentioned it a couple of times now, but I just want to just mention it because it's probably the biggest thing that people are not paying attention to right now. It's right in front of them. Mm-hmm. It's just Google Search Console. Take a look at your Search Console and take a look at it regularly. Google keep on adding updates to it. They just released Core Web Visuals, which is another part of the Search Console, a few weeks back. And you have a ton of different tabs in your Search Console. You have schema, you have site links, you have links, you have structured data, you have your 404s, and essentially you don't even need to use a lot of these auditing tools, because the Google Search Console will tell you, you have 50 errors, 50 404s, and these are the exact URLs where they are. You have 30 pages that are submitted for indexing but have problems. You have a bunch of these examples, and the cleaner you can make the Search Console, the more you can minimize these errors, you'll just notice that your rankings are a lot better. Because funny enough, there's been numerous times where we've had clients that come in, we take a look at their Search Console, and they have all the best practices implemented. But there's just a tiny piece of code that there's an error or a warning rather in the Search Console, and they did not take care of it. We just take care of that, refetch it, wait 2 to 4 weeks for Google to process everything, and naturally they just start climbing back up again because everything is connected. So that would be kind of the fifth tip. And just to elaborate on that, there's also a very good tool in Search Console, just a tab called Links. It will allow you to take a look at the websites that are linking to you, to your site. And these might be links that are coming from spammy places. links that Ahrefs might not be able to pick up. So what you can do is take a look at your links and just point out websites that might maybe look a little bit dodgy. So if you have links, if you're present in Canada, but if you have links coming from Pakistan, that's not normal. So you just want to kind of set those links to disavow, which is essentially telling Google, don't take a look at these links, cut them out, I don't have anything to do with them. And it will just make everything a bit cleaner and a bit more relevant to your site.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest one that, I mean, all of these are super important, but I would say probably one of the easiest things that a business owner or somebody could take away today is to just go onto Google, search Google Search Console, and if you don't already have an account or you're not already signed up, sign up and get it going so that you can start to see what is going on behind the scenes with your website. Would you say that?
Exactly. Yeah. That.
Yeah, perfect.
I got a question for you, Benjamin. So for us as an agency, you know, we get a lot of small businesses coming to us, you know, wanting help in several aspects of their digital marketing. One of the popular ones, though, is, you know, they'll tell us, you know, I want a YouTube channel. I have all these videos for YouTube. And I'm thinking like, great, awesome. We can post them on YouTube and maybe they'll get 50 views if you're lucky. So, you know, for somebody coming to you looking for kind of an SEO strategy or how to get more views on their YouTube content, what do you think is the best method?
For their YouTube content, it would just be using the algorithm for their advantage. YouTube is kind of like SEO, but it works in a different manner. So with YouTube, you want to build out your initial audience. It usually takes about a year. There's no really a shortcut. And then when you have the initial audience, you can just take advantage of the algorithm. You can kind of learn what your viewers prefer and just deliver them that. And most importantly, just use the engagement tools or kind of ask your audience to use the tools. That's why all the YouTubers start screaming, push the like button in the first 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Pushing the like button and then making it through like 50% of the YouTube video, in my opinion, are like the top, not ranking tools for YouTube, but just to encourage the algorithm to promote your video and to push it. Mm-hmm. But for the actual ranking in terms of just that, I would just take the same practice, like the first tip that I shared, taking your target keyword, positioning it all the way to the beginning of the video. Sure, you can experiment with sending it links, but I have not done that, so I can't really deliver much more value in terms of that.
No, that's awesome. I think that's the very first thing we're going to start doing. It's just going to be, hey, push that like button. Push that like button. I love it. That's awesome. Now, David, did you have a question to follow up with that?
Nope.
Are you okay? Okay, yeah. So I wanted to know, you know, one of the things that I see, it's in my inbox all day long. It's SEOs trying to reach out to me saying they have the affordable solution for my business and I should use them. It seems like SEOs are a dime a dozen. So what's a differentiating factor between a good SEO and one of these cookie cutter basic SEOs?
Just take a look at their past results. I think it's the number one way. Actually, I would say that the longevity of their results, that's even more important, because anyone can rank a site for a month, but what does happen after the month? You know, that's kind of the crucial part. With SEO is all about long term. If you're not looking at least 6 to 12 months down the line with your SEO, then you should not be doing SEO at all. You should just be rather focusing on PPC, paid ads, or something like that. The differentiating factor, just case studies, and just kind of asking them about how they approach everything, their methods, and just testimonials and results, usually enough.
That's it. That's the very first question anybody should ask an SEO person is, show me your case study.
Awesome. So do you focus on any specific industries yourself, Benjamin? Like, you've mentioned affiliate marketers a few times throughout the interview today, but do you work a lot with them, e-commerce businesses? Kind of where's your focus at?
Right. So we work a ton with affiliates. We, just because of how I got started with everything, we do a lot of audits and technical audits for affiliate sites, but then also e-commerce. So we initially started just with our product as service, Golden Web, just delivering technical SEO audits and suggestions on how to implement all the problems and fix them for affiliate sites. But then, as I just kept on talking and talking to more affiliates, we found out that e-commerce stores usually have about 10 times the errors of a regular affiliate site. And naturally, the more errors that we can help someone to fix, the higher the return on investment will be for them. So it's primarily at the moment both affiliate, but mainly e-commerce that we are really working with.
That's interesting. Well, you heard it here, folks. If you have an e-commerce business and website, you probably have a lot of errors that you are unaware of. So you should probably reach out to Benjamin to have him take a look at that. A couple more random questions, but Jay, feel free to jump in if you have anything that you're wondering.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to know what's the best way people can get in touch with you, Benjamin.
Goldenweb.net. You have an option to get a 20-minute call where we take a look and audit, do a mini audit of your site. goldenweb.net/book, or you can feel free to drop me an email at benjamin@goldenweb.net. Happy to answer any kind of questions, provide some value where I can, so feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Well, we have definitely gotten a lot of value out of today's episode, that is for sure. We went through five best practices for your technical SEO, and now we'll just end with the final question that we ask all of our guests. And Benjamin, that is, if you could choose one person, dead or alive, to represent your brand, who would it be and why?
To represent my brand in terms of?
Just be your brand spokesperson.
Brian Dean.
And you mentioned him earlier. Is he an SEO expert as well?
Brian Dean. I would say Brian Dean or Ahrefs. I'm just trying to remember. Both of their content is absolutely phenomenal. I've learned a ton from both. Shout out also to my mentor Igor Bajsic, Slovenian, one of the best SEOs I know. Those are the honorable mentions.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show with us today, Benjamin. We really appreciate your time and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.
Awesome. There you go. Five technical SEO tips to get you through your year, right? How about that? Hey, that was jam-packed with a ton of value. And I just want to recap those five real quickly here, okay? So Benjamin's five were starting with click-through rate optimization, number one. Number two, crawl budget optimization. Number three, duplicate content. Look out for duplicate content. It's going to crush your site. Number four, backlink profile. And we talked about do follow and no follow links and the difference between the two of those, as well as the Google console. If you don't know, now you know. Get on your Google console.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that recap, Jay. And for the listeners out there, we hope you got a lot of value out of today's episode. Be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast. We would really appreciate it. If you have any questions, please reach out to us on our social media platforms at Merged Media or email us at podcast@merged.ca.